The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
It is Thursday, and we welcome you to Exploring the Word as we look at Hebrews chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, I hope you would join us, and as we just open the Word of God, Hebrews 10, especially the first chapters, man, you will enjoy. And there's one or two places in there where we'll have to dig in and look to see, and we hope that you'll enjoy. Alex McFarland, unable to be with us today. You know, traveling Alex. It's funny, Brent and I come in each day and, well, where's Alex today? And somewhere he's over America somewhere flying, I think from Pittsburgh to Texas. So pray for Alex as he's on the road, and he is on the road a lot. So sitting in for him today is Jim Stanley. Jim, welcome.
Thank you, sir. You remember the kids program a few years ago, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Yeah. Well, our game is Where in the World is Alex McFarland.
The other day, Brent, remember that? We were talking about that. You know, where's Waldo and where is Carmen Sandiego?
Right, right.
I'm telling you, around AFR, it is Where is Alex McFarland.
But I tell you, we miss him, and we do want to pray for him. Folks, by the way, if you'd ever like Alex to come and be at your church, he is willing to do that. You can visit alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com. Bert, we've got to get you a bertharper.com.
Listen, I'm enough.
Bert's a great preacher, and he enjoys traveling as well.
Well, I enjoy traveling, but not as much. But right. I will say this, if you're interested, I do have about 3 weeks open in 2017,
there
believe it or not. And so we would be glad to come. Jenny and I love to travel together. We do family revivals, Jim, and those really, I tell folks, when we get through, Jan will have about 10 or 12 people stacked up to talk to her, and I'll be looking for somebody to talk to. You know, females that speak, a lot of times, they have the ability to just be kind of transparent, and people, you know, kind of respond to that, and they have with Jan, and we appreciate that, but it's given Jan and myself an opportunity. Let me give you another update. Last week, we were involved in the Fishbowl Retreat, Jim.
Right.
And it was one of the better ones that we've had, if not the best one we had. We had J.J. Jasper and his wife, Melanie, speaking. And it was a great, great week with pastors from all over the United States and even one from Canada. So I told someone, next year, we're going to call it the International Fishbowl Retreat. So, you know, you take advantage of everything you get, right?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, maybe you and I had even talked about that a little right after you got back, and making sure folks knew that it was international from now on, that you just didn't play anymore.
I'm telling you what. We are in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to start by reading verse 1 and then make a comment, Jim. It's Hebrews 10 is just an awesome chapter. But it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. There's two or three things you could preach, and I'm not going to, but you could preach a whole sermon on Hebrews chapter 10. But the first thing that I thought of, it says, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the real things. I thought of that and I said, something better is coming.
Right.
Okay, the law that was given, the first covenant that was given, let us know that it could not do a work in our lives that the second covenant did, that we find in the New Testament, because it alludes to that several places in Ezekiel and Jeremiah especially, about it's going to be the circumcision of the heart, the new covenant. It's going to be a heart. Not that you couldn't get your heart right in serving God, but there was still something that was lacking in the law. And Jesus Christ, here's what it said, I came not to do away with it, but I came to fulfill it. I love to say fill it up.
Right.
You know, it's just something lacking. But not in Jesus. Everything you have in Christ. I love that passage. It says he's given us everything that we need
for godliness in this present world.
Well, you know, this goes back to what you and I had the opportunity to talk about a couple of weeks ago in Hebrews, and the fact that the law was man-dependent. Grace is God-dependent, you know, because when we think of the law, and even there in the first verse where it says they would have to do, you know, let's see, there at the end of verse 1, it says that they offer continually year by year, all right? Whereas the Son, when he came and filled the law up, as you like to say, when he came and filled the law up, then it became a payment in full. And as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, actually killing the sin nature.
Doesn't cover it up.
Doesn't cover it up.
It
takes it away.
Takes it away. And that's what you have in Christ. And Alex and I and Jim and I, we want to tell you, if you do not have that relationship, and it's more than religion, it's more than ritual, it is a reality. You know, everybody talks about reality these days, you know?
All kinds of reality TV.
Yes, I'm telling you, the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ truly changes your life. I preach it, and I still preach it, Jim. If there hasn't been a change in your life when Christ comes in, Christ hasn't come in.
Right.
How can this God of the universe come into your life and it not change your life? Now, again, it's necessary. I've seen folks change drastically, and I've seen some change, you know, little by little along the way, but still there's a change. So here we are in chapter 10, and again, you talked about continually year after year. It says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. You know, if one of those had have been perfect, they wouldn't have had to continue to do it. You know?
Right.
And that's what the writer of Hebrews, and I want to remind people right now, the whole thought of the book of Hebrews is that the second covenant, the best sacrifice, and matter of fact, Jesus is better. And the temptation, Jim, I'm reminded, I was trying to remind myself of this because of some scriptures that we'll get to. What the writer of Hebrews was trying to get them to say is, even though you're being persecuted for following Christ, and if you revert back to Judaism, you know, it's something less. Following Jesus privately and publicly is worth everything because he's so much better. Because there was a temptation of saying, okay, Jesus is the fulfillment of you know, the religious thoughts of the Judaism. We can stay in Judaism and follow Christ. And he has said, no, come on out, be complete.
Right.
And so that's the whole thought of the book of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with Jesus. Don't revert back. And we're going to get to that later on in chapter, in verse 26.
If we make it that far.
If we make it that far. We may save that for Alex. Because
well,
guess what? If we don't have Alex comment on that,
right,
guess what he'll do?
He'll go back
and comment on it.
Well, in looking at that, there was, and what you said a moment ago, I had one of the verses that I had found was in 1 John 3:9, and it says, no one who is born of God practices sin because his, capital H, his seed being Christ, abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So when we get to that passage and the passage that we covered a couple of weeks ago, you know, folks want to talk about, well, you can't lose your salvation or you can lose your salvation. Folks, if your salvation has been guaranteed by the blood of Christ on the cross and you have repented of your sin and you found him as your Savior and you are truly worshiping him, then that salvation is secure because, again, it's not man-dependent. It's not the blood of bulls. It's not a dove offering. It's not a peace offering. It's not a lamb offering. It was the unblemished sacrificial Lamb of God where he did give his son. You remember back when Abraham was going to offer Isaac? All right, that was of man. Abraham was willing to give his son, but God made a way. Folks, you and I have nothing so precious as the Son of God, where God made a way again.
Amen.
And this time, there was no withholding the knife. There was no withholding the pain. There was no withholding the sacrifice.
Mm.
God gave his Son so that we might have life. How long, Bert? Everlasting.
Jim, where I come from, they call that preaching that you just did, brother. And I could not agree more. And I, you and I were talking about this passage. First, let me just read
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to jump ahead, and we'll probably come back to it. But there's two or three things I want to do. But verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sins." In other words, Jesus is going to only die one time.
Right.
Okay? And he takes care of what sin? All sin.
All. Yeah.
Past, present, and future. That's the whole idea. Jesus Christ is sufficient. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. But when you do sin, matter of fact, over in the Old Testament, there is no sacrifice for willful sin.
Right.
It's just sinning, you know.
An inadvertent sin. Yeah.
And so when you willfully sin, and there's an example in the Old Testament. It's King David. He willfully stayed behind. He willfully went on the rooftop, saw Bathsheba, willfully brought her over, willfully committed adultery, willfully sent her husband to the front line to have him die.
Right.
And then when we come to Psalm 51, he is amazed that God could forgive him.
Yeah.
That shows forth the New Testament covenant right there. Even in the Old Testament, God still responded looking ahead to what Jesus would do.
Amen.
That is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ
Absolutely.
To cleanse us from all sin.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to get phone calls, I'm pretty sure, today where people are going to want to discuss this with us.
It is.
And it's okay to discuss. In fact, we had a young man call the other day. I was on with Alex, and he was very respectful. He had his point of view. We listened to him, and then we went on. We didn't try to correct him because we're not going to debate this.
There's no need of it.
We want to talk about things that are going to unite us in the body of Christ. And folks, let me tell you something, and I honestly mean this. If you are truly saved of God,
preach it.
You're not going to want to do these other things because you're going to want to be, and Bert, you and I were talking about abiding, and that's some of the things we're talking about in our small groups right now. But there in 1 John, it says, "No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides." His seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Bert, when we are the engrafted vine, when we have been grafted into that living vine of Christ, and we're engrafted in that, then we're saying that Christ would have to sin because we are part of his tree now. We are part of his body. We've been told we're adopted, that we have the same rights as the firstborn has. All right, so, and folks, I don't mean this spooky spiritual at all. I'm just telling you. You don't get an apple from a pear tree. And so we are either grafted into that vine, and the vine is made stronger because of that, or we're not.
Amen, Jim.
There's no in-between.
Abiding, and that's one of the themes of the Apostle John.
Yeah.
I mean, he carries it through from John
to
First John.
Yeah.
And that abiding is real. I abide in him. He abides in me. That is beyond my complete comprehension, but the Bible teaches it. And I may not know how to explain it, but I have experienced it.
Amen.
You catch that?
That's right.
And there's a lot of things in the Scriptures. We're going to continue going in Hebrews 10. So we want you to stay with us and rejoice with us that what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, he can do for you if he has not. We'll be back right after the break with more of Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S. FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Whatever a man may do for a living, Dr. Tony Evans says that all dads are ordained. He talks about the importance of that job description as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Every man here who has a family has been called to pastor. But who are the ones in the Bible studies? Who are the ones listening to learn? Who are the ones reading the text? Who are the ones leading in devotions? It typically isn't the man. He's got the remote. It was inconceivable in the Bible that a man would send his wife and family to church while he stayed home. That was an inconceivable, because he understood his role as pastor, spiritual leader. That his job was to transfer. The reason why we put the outlines of every sermon online is so that you have something to talk about. The reason God gives me a sermon for Sunday is so you can use it for Monday. Not just so you can wait till next week, same time, same station. And it says the men are supposed to do that because you're the shepherd of your house. That's why a man comes to church. He comes to church to find out what God has to say so he can transfer it back to his family around the dinner table.
Learn more about how a godly husband and father attends to the spiritual needs of his family. Check out Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It'll teach you how to follow God's agenda at home, at work, at church, and in society. Get a copy for yourself and order some extras for your church. Details on Kingdom Man are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Jim Stanley in for Dr. Alex McFarland today, and it's my pleasure to be in with my good friend Bert Harper. And we are in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Bert, I want to mention that song that just brought us back. That's from the folks Keith and Christian Getty. And they have a new project out. I don't know that this song is from that project, but they have a new hymns project out that it's called about hymns for kids. But let me tell you something. There's hymns in there that us folks would enjoy,
listen,
too.
I'm still a kid at heart in a lot of ways. It says you put away childish things. I know that. But I'm telling you what, most men that I know, they still ought to have that adventure of a child in them, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And the Gettys, Jim, they have just been blessed of God. They remind me of the Gaithers a few years ago, you know, when Bill and Gloria were just putting out song after song.
Right.
And the Gettys seem to be doing that today. And they've really, I think, made hymns really more important to the church that's wanting to kind of be contemporary more than traditional.
Right.
But with the Gettys, you get
both because it's done in the beauty of the traditions, of the hymns of yesteryear.
Yeah.
But when you, and the depth of the theology in their hymns is incredible. And I won't get started on that.
Well, I love them, man. I'm telling you.
It's GettyMusic.com, G-E-T-T-Y, music.com, if you'd like to find out about those folks. And that was completely unsolicited. Keith and Kristen are good people. They love the Lord. They're raising their family in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I would do anything I could to bless those
folks.
You and
me both.
So
Brent is the one. He found that song. He and Rick Robertson and some more together, they wanted to add a few more of our, you know, intro songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that one. And when they found the first time I heard it, I got nearly turned, got up and started shouting and running around because I was proud of that one to be added to our repertoire of introduction
Amen.
Songs.
Amen. Well, we're in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we've made it an incredibly long way. We're at verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshipers once purified would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there are a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And as you mentioned, you know, as we talked about a minute ago, because the law is still dependent on man, and we move that when Christ took our sin upon him, that shifted that, and it kind of picks up there in verse 5.
They call it the paradigm.
Yeah.
The paradigm, the whole
right.
thing shifted
Amen.
From that to God. Now, it was always God initiated. God always mm-hmm. initiated, and man responded. Man responded then through those sacrifices of bulls and goats every year, you
right.
know. But when Jesus arrived on the scene, it changed everything.
Amen.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true
in every way, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We're at verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.
That is so full. Now you have to look at it.
Yep.
Notice, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you are prepared.
Mm-hmm.
God, Jesus Christ's body was specially prepared.
Right.
He was the God-man. And again, it's an amazing thing. It's one of those, you know, it Bible teaches to explain it. We know he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, but it was a perfect body,
Amen.
Perfect sacrifice.
Right.
And it says that those burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin, you know, it was a pleasure. But you remember that scripture, we talked about it one day this week, Alex did, it pleased God
right.
for Jesus to suffer on the
right.
cross. When you compare that to this passage about he had no pleasure in those mm-hmm. goats and bulls, why? Because it did not accomplish.
Yeah.
But
it,
when Jesus died on the cross, it accomplished to bring sinners into relationship with Christ through the forgiveness of sin.
Absolutely.
Powerful.
You know, the... We've talked about this a bit before. When you look at the blood of bulls and you look at the blood of the goats and those yearly offerings that were made, those were simply a covering for our sin. They were a Band-Aid on a bobo, okay? But when Christ came and offered himself, he became the completion. And it was not just a covering for sins, but it was a complete removal of sins, because his blood, and we talk about that, oh, how, you know, precious is the blood, you know, when we talk about that and talking about hymns and songs, we think of that. And then to know that his blood has been applied means that God doesn't see the sin anymore, but he sees the completion of his son's work.
Do you remember in children's sermons, and I did this, red cellophane,
mm-hmm.
and you hold it in front of a red, like a red flame.
Right.
And you hold the cellophane up, it doesn't look red anymore, it's white.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as children, I said, this is what Jesus did for us. He makes that sin
right.
that was filled with anger and blood red, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, it is white.
Amen.
It washes us. So there's many illustrations. Now, continuing on in that, Jim,
don't get it. That's okay.
Call
me in time for supper.
I just thought of this. If you had my first name, my first name's not Bert. If you had my first name, you'd be Stanley.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good, would it?
Well, I don't know. I've been called Stanley Steamer before, so, you know.
Okay. Hey, you have to forgive it. When Jim's in here with me, the humor just... Naturally comes out.
Because
when we get together, and we just, that's what we do, isn't
it? Well, we enjoy the scripture, but we also enjoy each other.
Yeah.
And plus, we are in studio together, so we can see each other. Bless
Feed
Alex.
Off of that, right?
That's right. Bless Alex's heart.
Oh, me.
When he has to do a remote broadcast, and those are just, you don't have the same that's not to say that you and Alex aren't good. Don't misunderstand that, folks. But you just don't have that same instant rapport where you do when you and Alex are in studio together. And you can tell.
The level, it rises.
Right.
It does.
Right.
Well, let me continue on. I want to read verse 11, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Okay. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. There it is. You talked about the covering, but they mm-hmm. can never take it away. But, I love that conjunction.
There it
at
is.
At this point. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Jim, he completed it. And I heard someone, you know, he not only completed a ministry, but he commenced one, which is he started making intercession for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said, he also was looking at a future ministry in coming. You know, preachers, how they love the same letter.
Right.
So he completed a ministry, he commenced a ministry, and he was planning a coming ministry when he comes back.
Amen.
So he did everything that was needed. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Now, I just want to tell you, until then, we're going to live in a fallen world.
Right.
And this world is filled with tribulation. And who do we think we are? In America, and mm-hmm. I'm going to bring this out because you and I, and if we don't get it any further, I want to get it because what you did earlier today, we've already had Bible study
today. We have.
In your office. We in America have been, I love America, don't you not understand that, but we have been so blessed beyond mm-hmm. measure that we spoil and we have a tendency to interpret Scripture to
absolutely.
Get us out of difficulty.
Right, absolutely. We don't understand what persecution's like. We don't understand what the children of Israel went through. You know, we don't understand what Christians in the Sudan are going through because we as Americans have never had to face even some of the rebellion that's coming now. I mean, you think of what's happened in Massachusetts where the government there, the state government, now our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom have taken that case on. But the government is telling the pastors that they have to open up their restrooms to anybody that wants to use them. And they're also looking into that. They're not exempting the churches from that, nor from the speech. So Massachusetts is going to be one of the first states that can legally prosecute ministers for simply preaching the gospel of truth.
Do you find that amazing that that's where the Pilgrims landed and the Mayflower Compact was mm-hmm. penned off the shores of Massachusetts in such a way that their purpose for coming to America, part of it was to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That, you know, and so anyway, we in America, when you interpret Scripture, two of the best things that's helped me to interpret Scripture before I go on
mm-hmm.
is one, I got to go to Israel. That blessed beyond measure, and I could visualize and see where these things. The other one is visiting third world countries,
mm-hmm.
and I know you've done that with different Samaritan's
right.
Purse and different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And going there and seeing more of the agrarian society
right.
and seeing certain things, they live more like that than we do here in America. It really helped me to understand a lot of the Scripture about, I would say, difficulties mm-hmm. and tribulations in a fallen world.
Right.
So anyway, here he goes. But this man, Jesus Christ. Now, real quickly, there's so much here. I want to go down to verse 19. I was trying to hit the highlights because I do want to get to verses 22, 23, and 24 before. But let me read verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest
Amen.
Of the blood of Jesus. Boldness. It doesn't mean arrogance, okay?
No.
A lot of times we think that boldness is arrogance. No, boldness is knowing who you are in Christ and mm-hmm. acting upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, Jim, that's in humility, not in boastfulness.
Right.
You catch what that
right.
is? But it's boldness
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to hesitate, do we?
No.
We can go to him. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God.
Hmm.
Okay, with him being the high priest, I want to share with you verses 22, 23, and 24. If you're a preacher or if you're a Sunday school teacher, take notes. This just is beyond measure. The first thing, since we have this high priest, the first thing he wants us to do is let us draw near with a true heart. Okay? A true heart. It
mm-hmm.
has the idea of pure heart, not one that's defiled, not one that's double-minded. You remember the scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is a pure heart. Going with it, in full assurance of faith. Okay, the first thing we have, let us draw near with a true heart with the assurance of faith. I love the word assurance. We talked about knowing God.
Right.
The assurance is not us, but the assurance of what he has done.
Amen.
And that's the assurance that comes.
Absolutely.
And we've come to him. It says, and having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the first thing, the admonition is, let us draw near with a pure heart in faith. The second one is this, after we have this high priest in heaven, seated by the right hand of the Father, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast. We don't need to turn loose of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. There is no other hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the confession, the word confession means to agree with God. It really means to say the same thing as.
Right.
The exact words. When I confess Christ is my Savior, I'm agreeing with God. And so he is the very Son of God. He is God's Son, and we agree with that. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. And then thirdly, in verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. If our faith and hope is right, we have love, and it's toward others.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you the evangelism and mission. But you can't help but look at faith, hope, and love. Seem like I've heard of that somewhere else.
Somewhere else?
Somewhere else in ancient manuscript.
Something like that, yeah.
1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And what does Paul say? These three, but the greatest of these
is love.
And it's faith, hope and love.
Amen.
Honestly, Jim, we talk a lot about faith, okay?
We do.
We talk a lot about love. The one that's left out a lot a bit in that trilogy is hope.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's where we come to the assurance. With that in mind, you jump down to verse 26, and it shows you our hope is in what Christ has done once and for all, and not our works. But I know you had something to say about
hope. Well, no, I was going to say, do you think that goes back to our Americanized Christianity? Is we want to be so self-reliant. We want to be so self-dependent that we don't think about the fact that our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not in what we can do or how big our Bible is. Our hope has to come from the faith that Christ has given us to even call on his name, to be called to repentance, to know that we've repented and we've been washed by that blood. That's where our hope's at.
Amen, brother.
It's not in ourselves. It's not in even in those around us. But I want to say this because I don't want to take away from there where we talk about in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. We're supposed to rely on each other as brothers in Christ, as sisters in Christ.
Iron sharpens iron.
Amen. But our hope isn't based on being an American. Our hope isn't based on our bank account. Our hope is based on Christ. And I think, I wonder sometimes if that's why we leave hope out, because it makes us less dependent upon ourselves and more dependent upon him.
I think you hit it out of the park. I'll give you this one, and then we'll give the number before we go off. If you look especially at the old Negro spirituals, that's what they were called back in that day, guess what most of them are singing about?
Hope.
Hope and hope. In heaven.
Amen.
And even some of those that were not talked about heaven, casting a wishful eye on Jordan, Stormy Banks.
Yeah, amen.
You know why? Because it was so difficult down here.
Yeah.
You know, but since World War II, man, we've been blessed beyond measure. And, it's a great, prosperity is great.
It is.
But you have to watch prosperity because it'll lead
you astray.
It'll lead
you astray. Absolutely. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Bert and I will be back right after this to answer your questions as Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
American Family Radio is for the church.
My name is Kelly, and I live in Rapid City, South Dakota. Shortly after I became a Christian, I found your station thinking it was my church's station. So I started listening and found out that it wasn't my church's station, but I was so hooked. I had no idea that there was any kind of culture war going on at all. I didn't know anything about the gay marriage agenda or how bad abortion was in our country. I'm so grateful, and I've become very active in the culture war. I've been very involved in the pro-life movement and in every share-a-thon since. So I just wanted to thank you so much for informing me on what was going on and being such an encouragement throughout my day.
Your financial gift keeps your family equipped for the culture war. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
On November 8th, our nation will choose a president who will serve as commander-in-chief to protect our country and allies from terrorist attack, and who will nominate the next Supreme Court justice. Voters will also be choosing national and state legislators and officials at the local level. AFA Action urges you to learn which candidates would support religious liberty or strengthen national security. Be an informed voter. Visit afaaction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide, and then vote.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
It's Crane, coming up on Nothing But Truth. AFN anchor, reporter Chris Woodward, and U.S. Bureau Chief of LifeSite News, Ben Johnson, beat the press. Dr. Cal Beisner breaks down Al and Hillary's man-made climate change statements, and the former advisor to the Secretary of Defense, Michael Rubin, brings us a national security update. Plus, highlights of Newt, Dr. Ben, and Sebastian Yorka commenting on the campaigns. To join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
You are listening to Exploring the Word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
It's Jim and Bert today. I'm Jim Stanley. It's my pleasure to sit in for Dr. Alex McFarland today and alongside Brother Bert Harper. Bert, we have been talking about the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and I tell you, I'm glad that Alex will be back on Monday, but I'm also kind of thinking like, I might want to sit in on that to listen in, because that's going to be such a good part. We got to, I believe we got around to verse, 26?
Yeah, we covered a little bit of 25, but I think we'll go over that. Jim, we used to do three quite a bit when I first came on, and Marvin was going taking treatments, and I didn't know what I was doing. So you guys got Carl Peets in here.
Right.
So it was Carl, Bert, and Alex, you know?
Yeah.
And y'all trained me for 2 weeks and then turned me loose
That's
to go.
Right.
And but we'd have three. And then, you remember, Marvin
got better and he came back.
And he broadcast from his house.
Yep.
And it was a threesome for quite a few, a few weeks there. And so I'm going to remind you Monday.
All right.
Okay, brother.
Well, we're going to go to the phones now. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Going to take a call from Gary. Gary, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Hello.
Eric and Thor Burke.
What?
This question is for Bert Harper. Brother Bert, abomination and the abomination of desolation. It's used as a noun and a verb in the Bible. Could you tell me, is that a higher degree of sin, or what does God mean by abomination instead of calling it a sin? And I'll let y'all go and let you comment.
Okay. All right, thanks, Gary.
That is a good question, Alex. If you notice, Gary, a lot of times, just recently I preached a message from Isaiah 59, mm-hmm. and it's a good sermon, by the way, that I preach on that, if I say so myself.
All humility.
In all humility. But anyway, in verse 12, it says, it takes up our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, our trespasses. So you had four different terms for rebellion against God, okay? So all sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
But abomination, they use different terms, but abomination seems to be of greater impact. You know, the abomination of desolation,
mm-hmm.
is the height of desecration to the temple.
Right.
When they would offer a swine on the altar of God. I mean, Jim, you don't get any more irreligious than that.
Right.
Most irreligious, you know, act of, you know, that you could do. So it seems to be a higher word. Now, I've heard sin is sin, but it is, all sin separates us from God.
Right.
But there are some sins that have greater consequences and seems to stir our anger and break the heart of God than other sins.
It does, and you know, we've talked before about there are sins that are just done in ignorance. There are sins that are done on purpose, and then there are sins that are done against the body. And when you begin to get to some of those sins that are against the body, and when you begin to look at things such as witchcraft and things along those lines, that's where you begin to see the use of the word abomination.
Yeah.
You know, when the sin of denivation was right. considered an abomination before God. And so I think you're right, Bert. I think there are some things that you have levels of. Now, folks, hell's going to be hell. It's going to be a complete separation and absence from God. I'm not, you know, I've read Dante's Divine Comedy. I don't believe there are levels of hell. I think that all the worst part of hell isn't going to be the fiery furnace. It's going to know that for eternity, you're completely separated from God and there's mm-hmm. no more hope.
And it's called a bottomless pit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the two things that children have a natural fear of? I'm talking about a baby, loud noises and the fear of falling.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being in a bottomless pit, always having the
sensation of falling?
The sensation of falling. I don't know what it is. And also, it's wailing and gnashing of teeth. That sounds, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a place you don't want to go. And I'm telling you right now, if you're listening today and you do not have this relationship with Jesus Christ, right now, if you're driving, you ought to pull off the side of the road and right now say, God, I'm repenting of mm-hmm. who I am. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus because he gave his life. And if you need someone to talk to, man, there are friends at 888-NEED-HIM.
Right.
Man, they're there. 888-NEED-HIM. They got a website, I think, Chat About Jesus. You can go on Facebook, Chat About Jesus.
Yeah.
And so if you're one of these guys that talks with your fingers, I'm not one of them. I'm slow when it comes to that. But, you know, 888-NEED-HIM. There'll be somebody to help them.
Absolutely. And we'd enjoy hearing from you at word@afr.net. We'll be happy to pray with you. We'll be happy to contact you off the air. But we do have some really good friends, and they're solid folks that will be there to talk to you right now. Don't let this moment pass. If you feel like you're the person that needs Christ right now, this moment in time, don't let this opportunity pass. Go ahead, as Bert said, pull off the road, take a moment, and folks, it really can make the difference of eternity.
Amen.
It will for sure be a starting point. Well, we're going to talk to Connie now in Indiana. Connie, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here, and I'm kind of lost now because I'm at work, and there was another show on, and I got all heated up about some comments, and I was in a bad area, couldn't call in, it kept dropping in. By the time I got here, we were in Hebrews.
Okay.
Not talking about politics anymore. So do you want to hear what I have to say?
Not about politics, but we'll be happy to take a question for you on Hebrews or on the Bible.
Well, it relates to the two thieves that were on the cross next to Jesus.
Okay.
One of the thieves was persecuting him, and Christians were also being persecuted at that time. And one of the thieves stood up for Jesus. And Jesus was in a lot of torment and persecution of his soul, and he appreciated that so much that he said, "You'll be with me today in paradise." And they're both thieves, you know? So, you know, it says in the Bible that however you treat mine, you treat me, is what Jesus said. And our president chose a Christian.
All right. Hey, Connie, really don't want to get into politics. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your illustration about the thief on the cross. And, you know, I'm sorry that you didn't get through earlier. Yes, I believe that Mr. Trump chose wisely, and Mike Pence, who is a very outspoken Christian, wish that Mrs. Clinton would also make that same type of choice. But this isn't where we're going to talk about that.
And this is on purpose, Jim.
Yeah, it really is. And this is a break. This is a moment of fresh air.
Yeah, we do.
Now, there'll be times we'll talk about policy.
It's so important
because
and so big.
Abortion is important. You know, natural marriage, it's important. So there'll be time, there'll be some blends where we'll talk about that. But folks, you know, like I said, Mike Pence is a solid Christian. This has nothing to do political. This has to do with the way he's walked his life out, and the things that he say come from his heart. And so I want to be clear that, you know, Mrs. Clinton could have chose wisely and found someone of that caliber to be her running mate. But this isn't the time and place for that. We want to talk about the things. But now, when she talked about the thief on the cross, I think the difference for him, because I don't want to leave anything out there. I don't want to leave somebody thinking, well, all I have to do is take up for Christ. That's not true.
Mm-mm.
Because
well,
you can take up for Christ for a lifetime, and you can still find yourself without him. But what happened is the thief on the cross saw Christ, saw who he was, and recognized that. And reprimanded the other thief, but in so doing was making a profession of faith.
He was. He says, "Remember, Lord."
Yeah.
I mean, that's a confession
right
there. Do you remember? I believe the greatest confession of who Christ is in the Bible was made by Thomas when he missed the first time and he came back, "My Lord and my God."
Right.
I mean, the conviction of his lack of faith, doubting, and now in the very presence, "My Lord and my God."
Amen.
And I do believe, I sense part of that of the thief on the cross that went to paradise.
Yeah.
I sense that in him too. It's got to be to what extent, you know, is measured, and I understand that you respond according to the knowledge that you've been given.
Right.
But Thomas had walked with him. Thomas had heard him. Thomas had heard these apostles saying, yes, he did come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he sees it, what a confession.
Amen. That's good stuff. All right, we're going to talk to Johnny now from Arkansas. Johnny, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to show you two things that the Lord showed me and then get your comments. The first one is the General Assembly of the Firstborn of God are those who hear his voice and obey. And they're in the field doing harvest. Now, the second thing he showed me was Jesus said, if you take away the daily, as the word of God lived and the prayer of come, union with God, that's being naked at the thought, always having your conversation with him, you will set up the abomination that makes desolation. That's pride standing in the temple, having mixed pride with some religion, and or made some deal with men short of being holy.
I agree with it. I hard to follow completely, but brother, I want to tell you, pride, the abomination, I can say the abomination of pride and what it does. You mix that with religion, and you do have man-made religion. In other words, I said, God, I don't care what you've done. And that's why you have all the religions.
Yeah.
Muslim, Hindu. I'm not trying to, if we got a Hindu listening, listen, it's Jesus Christ. It's not levels of God. It is Christ alone.
Right.
And but that's man trying in his
pride. Still trying to work it out for himself.
Yeah, and it's still pride.
Amen.
And it is an abomination. And you mix that with religion, Jim, no wonder you lead so many astray. Religion is one of Satan's greatest tools.
It surely is. Johnny, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question this afternoon, and we may be able to get one or two more calls in. Yvette, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hello, Jim and Bert. God bless your ministry on the radio. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Quick question. I was able and blessed enough to listen all the way from Hebrews 1 to 26, but and I got the message deep down in my soul. I get the whole message of Hebrews. What I'm confused about is Hebrews, is that being written to Hebrews, written by the Hebrews? Are the Hebrews of the Jewish faith? Are they of the same people? If you could explain that to me, I'll hang up. I would really appreciate it.
All right, Yvette, we'll let you listen on the radio. Thanks so much for the call. And Bert, if I understood a question correctly, it boils down to, one, who is Hebrews written to and written for? And two, I can understand her confusion where we talk about the Hebrew children and also talk about the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And so, for the most part, Hebrews and Jewish people are one and the same. That they're like the children of Israel. All of those terms kind of become, you know, they can be used for one another. But tell us who Hebrews was written for.
Hebrews was written to Jewish believers. That there's no doubt. When you read what all it was said, how it came about, notice it talks about the covenants, it talks about the sacrifices. So he's talking to Hebrews, Jews, but he's talking to those who have been saved because he's talking about stay with Christ. And he says, do not depart, do not leave and stay with him. Let me give you this. This helps as much as any I know. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That verse right there is the theme of the book of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let us go on. Now, what was happening, these Hebrew Christians, Yvette, were being persecuted. At this time, Christianity was being persecuted by the Roman government, but also Jews. So they knew they were not going back into paganism. That wasn't the alternative. They wasn't going back into a heathen lifestyle. They were going back into the rituals, and they were saying these rituals represent Christ, so why can't we practice those rituals and be safe? The whole idea was being safe in their society, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
We're safe if we stay in worship the way the Jews, but inside we know that what we're doing is Christ.
Amen.
You know? And the writer of Hebrews, Paul, Apollos, Luke, whoever it may have been, saying, no, don't go back.
Right.
Don't go back. Don't give room. And I think chapter 6, verse 1, let me read it one more time before we go on. You can take us out. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, here it is, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works of faith toward God. Don't go back to this religion. Stay with the relationship with Christ.
Amen. Hey, folks, I want you to do me a favor, if you would. Next week, Tuesday through Thursday, is going to be our share-a-thon. Would you be in prayer for that for us? There are some health issues going around the staff here. There are some other things that we just need to take. And if you would offer your prayer for us, we would be very grateful for that. Join us tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Central for Fire Away Friday right here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.